Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We will stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. That simply means reminding you of something needed that now includes the past and about which there will never be a change. Now, our study will consist of a series of questions with Bible quotations to provide answers, to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, our first question is, what separates man from God? Ironically, the good news of the gospel begins with the bad news that man is lost in sin, and he stands condemned. As Ephesians 2:12 says, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, how does Scripture define sin? 1 John 3, verse 4 says, "For sin is the transgression of the law," having reference, of course, to God's law. 1 John 5:17 says, "All unrighteousness is sin." James 4:17, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." In Romans 14 and verse 23, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And this is said in the context of man's conscience. It simply means to violate your conscience is sinful. Now, it does not mean that nothing is sinful until your conscience is violated. But it means that the violation of your personal convictions, whether they be right or wrong, that constitutes sin. Well, what are the wages of sin? Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." And death means separation, and this refers to a spiritual separation from God. James 1 and verse 15, "And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Well, how many are guilty of sin? Well, Romans 3 and verse 10 and 23 tell us, "There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, "For that all have sinned." Well, is one guilty of the sins of his foreparents? Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." No, we do not bear the guilt of the sin of our foreparents. That's a false man-made doctrine. Each shall be accountable for the things done in his body, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Now, it should be obvious, therefore, if we are to be saved from this barrier of sin, this barrier that we have erected between ourselves and God, sin must be removed. Friend, the good news is that sin can be removed. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, we ask the question, how are sins removed? In Romans 4, 7 and 8, "Blessed are they whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." For sins to be removed, for sins to be covered, for the barrier between man and God destroyed, sin must be forgiven. The forgiveness of sin is the only way to remove sin. Well, what is necessary for sin to be forgiven? Hebrews tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." So we know that God has determined salvation is by blood. Well, what blood forgives sins? Will animal blood do it? No, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Well, whose blood will forgive? Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Forgiveness is accomplished because of the blood of Christ, and God provides nothing else by which our souls can be cleansed. Well, where did Christ shed his blood? In John the 19th chapter, where they crucified him, the other two with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Now I think that all of us are aware that Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. The death of Christ in itself is not good news, of course, but it is an essential part of the good news that salvation is offered to man. What his death provides is the good news. After all, why did Jesus come to earth? In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what caused God to send Jesus to this world? John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There can be no mistake. We're saved by the love of God. But are we not saved by the grace of God? Indeed we are. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And although we're saved by the grace of God, never, ever does Scripture teach in any manner that we're saved by God's grace alone. Well, are we not also saved by the mercy of God? We are. In Titus chapter 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God's grace is unmerited favor. God's mercy is God withholding punishment, though justified. It is evident we're saved by the love of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. But it's also evident we're saved by the blood of Christ. Let us notice what Christ purchased with his blood. Acts 20 and verse 28, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Friend, this is why Christians acknowledge the truth that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own. Notice now, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the church belongs to Christ because he built it. He's the foundation upon which it is built. He is the Savior of it. He bought it with his blood. Christ purchased the church, and the church is composed of the company of the saved. That's what the church is. And when one is saved, he's added to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. And what was the price of man's redemption? Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins to the riches of his grace. 1 John 2 and verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, a propitiation is simply the satisfaction of justice. God determined that his justice and his holiness would be satisfied with the payment for sin by the shed blood of his only begotten Son. It is the blood of Christ that was the ransom price that was paid, Matthew 20, 28. And by his blood, the way of salvation has been provided. Well, what is it that man must do? In John chapter 3, Jesus said, ye must be born again. In Matthew 7, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9, we learn that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. Those who come to God must be drawn to God, John 6 and 44, and we learn we are drawn as we are taught, as we hear and as we learn. Man must have faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and that faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Therefore, as James wrote in James 1 and verse 21, salvation is by the word of the gospel. Man must believe, and what is it that man must believe? He must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John 8 and verse 24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It is as the Ethiopian confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. Oh, the times are numerous, friend, that teach us that we're saved by faith. Nobody true to the doctrine of Christ would ever suggest any contradiction of the biblical teaching of salvation by faith. Now, what is contested is that false doctrine that we are saved by faith alone. There does not live a person on earth who can produce the passage that teaches that we are saved by faith alone or faith only. And why men teach it? That's for them to answer before God. James 2 and verse 24 explicitly contradicts such a false doctrine. Well, what is it that we must obey? We are to not only have faith in Christ, we are to repent of our sins. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13, 3. And we're to confess our faith in Christ, and he promised if we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father, Luke 12, 8 and 9. And we're to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27, and that for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It is then, friend, upon our obedience, that we are made servants of righteousness, Romans 6, 16 through 18. It is then, upon being baptized into his death, where his blood was shed, that we are allowed to rise and walk in a newness of life, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and be new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Jesus directed in Mark 16, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 that baptism saves. And that's because that's when and where we reach the Savior's saving blood. It never has been a question whether we're saved by the blood of Christ, but when are we saved by his blood? Friend, it is when we obey that we are redeemed by his precious blood, 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. When we're baptized, we're also baptized into the one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and that body is the church, Colossians 1, 18. And there is only one body, Ephesians chapter 4. You see, in Christ there is no condemnation, Romans 8, 1. In Christ there is salvation, 2 Timothy 2, 10. In fact, every spiritual blessing is in Christ, Ephesians 1, 3. And just as there is one body, there is one baptism. And the baptism being preached and practiced when the Holy Spirit had Paul to write that there is but one was baptism in water, in the name of or by the authority of Christ, for the remission of sins and into Christ. Well, after baptism, what are we to do? Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Yes, faithfulness is essential. We can fall away. Faithfulness means patient continuance in well-doing, Romans 2, 7. And we're not to grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 tells us, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul knew the crown of righteousness awaited him because he had kept the faith, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Must one obey the gospel to be saved? Friend, the gospel is the message of salvation. It cannot be ignored. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 shows the absolute necessity of obeying the gospel. Acts 4 and verse 12 teaches salvation is in none other than Christ. Jesus taught in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
certainly one must obey the gospel to be saved. And nobody has the right to hold out hope for souls that do not obey. It cannot be done by the revealed authority of God. Yes, the gospel is God's good news to man that reveals the way of salvation. It is that the lost may be found and the doomed can be saved. Thanks be to God for the good news, the gospel of Christ. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.